What happens when we exalt and lift up the name of Jesus? What's that?
He hears us.
What else?
He responds to us.
Yes. Somebody else? This is your quiz.
He rejoices over us.
He rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with dancing. And he said, if we lift him up, he lifts us up.
Amen.
He said, if I be lifted up, I will lift you up. How many need lifting up this morning? Anybody need any encouragement? Any lifting up? Oh, got two or three in the house. Okay, that's good. Anybody on this side? Excellent. Great. Well, you're in the right place today. Can't guarantee what's going to happen.
No.
Every Sunday's different. Don't get pre-programmed. That doesn't work too good.
I think I know.
God knows.
Today.
You're right, Debbie. God knows what's going to happen today because he got here before we did. Well, one good thing that we like to do is we like to share testimonies of God's goodness. But before we do that, a reminder, today is Mission Sunday and our fellowship dinner downstairs. It's the third Sunday of the month. And those that are visiting or sometimes forget, we welcome you to stay for actually a Thanksgiving dinner downstairs today. So I know there's lots of goodies. The food patrol arrived quite regularly at the front door and savory goodies were delivered downstairs. But I really know that the Lord has delivered savory goodies for us up here today too.
Amen.
And also the missions offering, that's the one time, unless it's a special needs, where we do have an offering. We put our tithes and offerings in the little white church box back there, and we believe that if you understand the blessings of tithing and giving, we don't need to pass a basket for that. I really think that it's important that we try to do those for special offerings, special needs, or things like that. But the missions offering goes to help people from this church. Spider-Man, is that you? Dude, you're cool. All right. You want to help with the missions offering later? Even with the spider hat? Okay. Promise not to scare anybody because we bind a spirit of fear. All right. But I know who you are under that. All right. So we'll do that in a little bit. But praise reports and testimonies first of God's goodness to you this week. Someone have a testimony, a praise report?
Yes, we are the temple not built with hands, and there should be a praise party going on inside all the time. Yes. Tom?
So I thank the Lord. He put me in a position where I'm doing some computer programming, and it's been frustrating because if you don't know the code, you don't, nothing happens. And that's where I've been 3 days trying to get one set of instructions down. And it made me think how many times I've gone to look for God for specific blessing that I needed and just forget everything else. Then I realized the bigger picture. This is the code. And you don't have to be perfect because God hears us. We don't have to go through a specific ritual, kneel, get up, whatever, so many times, slay 1,000 lambs. He hears us. And even though I was frustrated with the code, I said, hey, why can't we make the code as easy as God's word? And,
Lord, I need this.
And he hears me. So I'm still struggling with the formalities of the computer code, but the real code is the word of God, that he's faithful to hear us as we open up with, and he's willing and able to do what he expects us to do to him.
Now, before, you got your pictures all ready?
Yeah.
Loaded up? Okay, just before that, because we talk about our international ministries we're involved with the Philippines, with Bill and Gang, and Pastor Sherrard in India. The villages that Tom and I did not get to go to this year, there's some new salvations and water baptisms coming, and that's a very exciting time because when people that are in primarily Hindu and Muslim villages, they get saved, and then not a whole lot happens to them except when they go to get water baptized, because that's an outward witness of a changed heart, and that brings a lot of persecution and opposition. And
But there are five that are standing strong. Seven were saved a few weeks back, and five of the seven are now ready to be water baptized. And now it's the dry season, so it'll probably be an animal watering hole somewhere. But just the fact that they're courageous and they're bold in their faith, and they're not afraid to take a stand for Christ. So that's the latest news I had from India. That was yesterday morning.
And it just so happens that our scripture this morning comes from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Not strange to those of you who've been around here any length of time, but it pertains not only to the ministries that you've helped to make possible overseas. February will have been here 25 years, and it's taken a long time for some of these things to happen, but yet they have. But Galatians 6:9, I'd like you to think about your personal life, the people that you're involved with personally, and see if maybe this scripture will encourage you this morning. And let us, okay, we're here today, so we're the us for today. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'd like, as we think about this verse this morning, for you to think about maybe one person in your life that you've tried to help along the way. Point them to the Lord. It might be a granddaughter, it might be a grandson, it might be a son, it might be a daughter, it might be a husband, it might be a wife, maybe a friend. And sometimes, just maybe, you might have got to that point where you just wanted to squeeze their neck in love. Because they have brought you to the point of where you haven't seen any results yet of the good things that you do to try to help somebody. Because you can grow weary of that if you don't see the long haul. Jesus talked about making disciples. Making disciples means you have to take the time to sow your life into the life of someone else. You can't always expect a quick microwave impact on people. And this word encourages us to not let ourselves grow weary. You might not get a thanks. You might not get a card like I got. You might not get a phone call. Maybe nobody even knows who you're trying to help. But this tells me a little bit deeper that God is observing and notices what you do for someone else to make a difference in their life. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You shall reap. That word shall means it's a certainty. If we don't give up on someone, and I think probably a lot of us at times have just wanted to give up on somebody because we think we've done all that we know how to do. We've done everything we can do. And we just want to wash our hands of the matter and pray that God will send somebody else to take over. And because we lack patience sometimes. But it's persistence. It's about being steadfast. It's about being faithful to that person that you're trying to help. And to not get tired of and just want to give up on people. God never gave up on us. He doesn't give up on anyone. And so this morning, this is important because when we have Mission Sunday, we often talk about the missions overseas, but what about the food pantry in Ballast Falls that's feeding over 500 people a day? What about the food shelf that Dale was talking about where countless hundreds and hundreds of people are fed every day and given clothing and food, things like that, that maybe outwardly they're not on television and they don't get the praises of men in public. Maybe a little meeting with somebody for coffee once a week or something. Make that quality time to be there for people. Because God doesn't overlook the small things. You might not think that what you do is all that important, but one day you'll find out that it really is. So the encouragement today is, don't give up on anyone. We can't see the end of their life like God can. We can't see beyond today, really. So don't give up on anyone, and don't, you know, you just might as well get used to getting your heart broke a few times, because if we don't have a broken heart for people, it's really hard to love them without bias, without wanting to back off. But we have the love of Christ in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I think often of all the people that have come across our lives, and sometimes maybe you might only get one opportunity. It might be a cashier at the store. And all day long they've heard people complaining about the price of food. And you might be the next person in line, but you just might be the one that would have something kind to say to that person and make an impact and make their whole day. It's little things, not always big things. But with God, everything is big. He sees our hearts. He knows the good that you intend to do for others. And so today, we think international, but let's think local and let's think personal. And be encouraged today that God said, if we don't give up, if we don't faint, if we don't get weary about it, we're going to reap from the Lord. God will sow favor back into our lives because we're doing what He did. We're still doing what He does, making a difference in people's lives wherever we are, wherever we live. There are people that we can make a difference in their lives for the better. So be of good cheer. Rewards are coming. Now, we'd like to do our missions offering. Remember, this goes in a savings account, and it helps people from this fellowship to have opportunities to go on a missions trip. It doesn't always pay for everything, but it helps cover the cost of airfare, visas, any other travel documents. And remember, your tithes and offerings go in there. This is an offering for missions. So I'll pass this out now.
you're so worthy, Lord. Thank you.
today as we celebrate Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving coming. To the Christian, every day should be Thanksgiving. By that I mean when we set aside time and we just meditate and think about all the good things that the Lord has done in our lives, how can we not be thankful? And the scriptures tell us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, this is important, this first word, it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, or concerning us, we believers, the body of Christ, in everything give thanks. And sometimes that's very difficult to do because all of us, we all got stuff from time to time, and we go the extra mile to make sure that we can get the upper hand on it and all of our situations turn out okay, and then we can pat ourselves on the back and say, whew, got myself out of that mess. Now we wait until the next one shows up, and then what do? But when it says in everything, in sickness, in disease, and loss of a loved one, or marital problems, or troubles with kids, all kinds of things, trouble with jobs, relationships, everybody is involved with somebody somewhere some of the time. Even we as believers. And it's not always peaceful. It's not always the way we would like it to be. And there are times when the best thing to do is throw your hands up in the air and say, I just can't do this anymore. I can't take this anymore. And God says, I've been waiting for you to say that for 24 years. Wow, you finally made it. Hallelujah. And that's the answer. And then thank Him. Thank Him even before you see something of a positive nature happen. Because it doesn't make any sense if you try the same thing every day, expecting other than the same results. There's something wrong with that picture. And if we want to see things change for the better, then we need to back up and do something different. In everything, not for everything, because not everything that happens to us comes from the Lord, and that's a very clear distinction that we need to make. That's why this first word is so important. In everything, in this sickness, in this disease, I want to thank God, not for it, but for the fact that Jesus Christ bore my sickness and carried my diseases upon Himself on the cross. The stripes that He bore on Himself were for my healing. In a mess, I know Christians that fall into a lot of traps, addictions to all kinds of things. And they plead and plead and plead and try to get out of that mess. But to the believer who has a grasp on this, in everything, even in that bondage, even in that habit, even in that addiction, I can thank God for my deliverance. Because Jesus Christ broke the power of everything off of our lives the day we made Him the Lord of our lives. There is no power in hell that can hold back a born-again believer. Only if we let Him. But in everything, even in a loss of a job. Don't get so hung up over the loss of a job that you forget to thank God for a better one. Isn't He Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Doesn't that what the scripture talks about the Lord? The Lord our provider, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Isn't that the one we serve? Isn't He the guy up there, the big guy upstairs? Amen. We called Him that before we became believers, the big guy upstairs, the one we have a connection to. But now He's Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And He knows the things we need. He knows the things that need to be provided for our whole life, not just today, but for our whole life. So in everything, give thanks. And then you come over to Philippians chapter 4. This is a very good portion of Scripture too, because it's a reminder to us. Sometimes experiences in our lives aren't the greatest to go through. But thank God we go through them. We don't get stuck in them. It's one thing to be stuck in something. It's another to walk it through, walk it out, to see the glory on the other side of it. Like Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame of the cross and all that his flesh was going to suffer. But he saw something beyond that. He saw the joy. He saw you in his family. He saw your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and knew that if he didn't go to the cross, there wouldn't be any Christians. He had to sow himself as the first seed. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first one sown in the grave to raise up others who would follow him. And sometimes we don't see beyond where we're at in the middle of a mess. All we see is the mess. And sometimes we've got to just quit telling God how big our troubles are. It's about time to start telling our troubles how big our God is. Doesn't mean we don't have them. You don't want to make light of them. But there's an answer to life's problems and situations that we all go through. Each and every day, we wake up, we get up, and life starts again. Lights on, action, camera, roll them, and out goes our life, whatever we do all during the day. Work, play, sleep, work, play, sleep, or is it work, work, work? Yeah, some of you, that's right. Me too. I have some short nights once in a while. But you know what? The Lord refreshes us when we're sleeping for the new day. So let's come down here to verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice means to jump and shout and twirl about with. Did you ever get that excited for the Lord in public? Jump and shout and twirl about with joy? Oh my goodness. Knowing what the Lord did for us, knowing what he's provided for us. And we go around sometimes with such a sad countenance, and then you try to tell somebody else, oh brother, you really need the joy of the Lord. Well yeah, well you better send your face an email once in a while too, buddy. You ain't too bright today. Come on now. No, that's true. Roy, we know joy. Amen. Gotta have a little fun. Come on, lighten up, right?
That's right.
Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It's an old English word, but it means self-control. That kind of tells me, if I were just to bring that into today's perspective, quit having a hissy fit because things didn't go our way. And we get all bent out of shape over nothing. Let your moderation, let your self-control be made known to all men. You know, we want to be a witness and we want to influence people in a right way for the Lord. But what about on your job? What about the person you work with? What about the person you work for? What about when you just get provoked? And you just want to bless somebody with a brick? In love. I love you, brother, but you better straighten up. Moderation, self-control. Don't let the flesh get you to the point where no one knows you're a believer. If you have any bumper stickers on your car, you better take them off, because if you drive like that, people are going to pull you over and say, that's not good. I like your sticker, but your driving don't match your bumper sticker. Anyhow, let's move along. The Lord is at hand. That's the next part. See, we don't really have to get into a prolonged period of worrying or anxiousness or fretting. I can't imagine, and I know God doesn't sleep, but if he did, I couldn't imagine him getting up this morning and saying, oh, I don't know what to do with that person. I've just totally, I don't have a plan. They're one of a kind. I finally met my match. I don't think the Lord would think that. He says he knows the end from the beginning for all of us. He knows everything about us.
every place we're going to go, everything we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives. And we thank him for that. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means don't be filled with for no thing. Nothing means no thing. Don't let no thing fill you with cares. How's that? Don't let no thing fill you with cares. Because you know what? If you get filled with cares, you don't have any room for the Lord. You're carrying all your cares in a big sack like Santa Claus.
Oh, you ought to see all my cares.
No, I want to cast mine. I want to take care. I don't want cares to have me. I really don't. And sometimes it really takes getting a hold of ourselves and saying, no, I'm going to give that to the Lord. And I'm not taking it back. We've had several funerals out back. Yeah, we dug a hole and buried people's cares before. They wrote them on papers. And we went out back and had a funeral after church. I brought the shovel and dug the hole. And it was cool. That set a lot of people free that day. And you got to get a picture of that. When you cast your cares to the Lord and you give them to him, then you don't have any reason to lose your cool. See verse 4 and verse 5 don't make a whole lot of sense until we get a little bit further down in the text. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, remember back in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. By prayer and supplication, in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's why we have prayer. We always have prayer time at the end of the service. Why? So that you can walk out of here free. You don't have to go home and say, well, that was a good 2 hours, but I'm still carrying this whatever. This concern. This worry. This fretting. And being anxious about situations. Everybody's got situations. You should see my day planner. Some of it's planned for night. But you know what? I don't have any care. It doesn't mean I don't care. I just don't let the cares have me. And that's all the Lord is saying. Everybody has things they care about. Because we should. But we just got to not let the cares have us. And there's a difference. And besides that, if you give it to the Lord, it only took him 6 days to create everything there is. Don't you think maybe he could handle our little things? Maybe? Is there a possibility of a maybe there? That he might be able to do that? Oh, yeah? Cool. I like that. You should sit there more often.
That's right,
Debbie.
Hey, how's your Thanksgiving, by the way?
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And it says, let your requests be made known unto the Lord, or unto God. And this is what happens when we do that. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Wouldn't you like to have that?
Amen.
Be able to just, when people come to your house, it's not frenzy and hectic and chaotic and no peace in your house, no peace in your life, running here, running there, fretting, doing this and doing that and not taking the time to give it to the Lord so that you could have peace and everybody could look at your life and say, wow. Man, I don't know how they do that. They just got such peace. They don't get rattled. They don't get uncorked. They don't come apart. There's got to be something more. They got to have something that I don't have. What do they got? They've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. When no one can understand, looking at your situation, how you can be at peace. Well, we don't live in a world of peace, but there's a world of peace available down on the inside through a relationship with the Lord. And the closer we walk with him, the more we submit our will to his, the more at peace we're going to be.
And it says that that peace will keep our hearts and our minds. So if your mind is wandering and getting all the flutter and going in all these different places, and you want to bring it back to the right place, whatever it is that's troubling your mind, whatever it is that's troubling your heart, whatever burden it is, give it to the Lord so that you can be free. And you only have to do it once if you mean it. But if you give it to Him today, and let's see, it's 10 minutes to 12. For all you that keep track of the time, the turkey's not going to burn. We got 10 minutes. Your troubles can be all over by noon. That's a good word for you. It's 10 minutes to 12, and all of your troubles can be over by noon. Yeah, what do you think of that? And there's all kinds of goodies. Yay, I'm for the goodies. So this is a loving reminder as Thanksgiving officially on the calendar approaches, but today is Thanksgiving too. Thanking the Lord for what He did for each one of us. And He bore all of our cares and carried our sorrows. Did He not say, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you more"?
I'll give you rest.
Oh, funny Bible. I'm sorry. Forgive me, any visitors. I bring the wrong Bible sometimes. I thought it said, if I'm all labored and burdened down, that God's going to give me more. He didn't say that, did He? He said, "No, I will give you rest." And I used an example of my wheelbarrow one day. Wheeling wood back from the stack and into the garage, and I just loved it because I noticed that the wheelbarrow was so much lighter going back to the wood pile than it was when I brought from the wood pile to the garage. Well, that's like our troubles in the Lord. It's like put them in a wheelbarrow, shovel them all, dump them at the foot of the cross, and then you can run with that wheelbarrow because that sucker's empty. It's not heavy anymore. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Keep that word picture of a wheelbarrow full of troubles. Where do you plant it? Right at the cross. So with that in mind, as we always do, if you feel that you need to leave, please leave quietly, but the rest of us are going to pray for one another, and if you stay, please join us. And those of you that need prayer, please come up, and we pray for you. And then we'll bless the dinner downstairs, and we'll go downstairs and celebrate together.